One rabbi say, a limud every day before Torah way is as a zechus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shlema b'kora b'soch shal chayla Yisrael. The point I want to make regarding tomorrow is that Parshas HaChodesh, I think if you ask most people what is Parshas HaChodesh about, they all say because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu on Kiddush HaChodesh, on how to be Mekadosh LeChodesh, Kozer Re'ei V'Kadesh, Ya HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Kozer Re'ei V'Kadesh. And I think that the point that I'd like to make is that Parshas HaChodesh is a parsha in which we are celebrating, discussing, preparing for the Chodesh of Nisan, the whole of the month, not just the Rosh Chodesh, not just the union of Kiddush HaChodesh. In Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim, Yerishon Hu Lochem Lechodshei HaShanah, is only one posuk out of a long parsha. And the rest of it is all about Korban Pesach, and about Chometz, and about Matzah, and about Yom Tov, etc., etc. So therefore, Parshas HaChodesh and the Parshas HaChodesh that we celebrate, if you like, tomorrow, is all about the whole of the Yom Tov. It's about the whole of the month, not just about being Mekadesh, the Chodesh itself. And therefore, for instance, I looked through the Piyutim. There are Yotzeres for tomorrow morning in Shachris, and there are Yotzeres in Musaf as well. Actually, technically, the Yotzeres in Shachris, and the Musaf is called Musaf. But in Shachris, I don't know whether everybody says the morning Yotzeres in Shachris. There's Oifan, Zulas, Yotzer, etc. But I think everybody says the Yotzeres in the Musaf. There's one very nice one, for instance, that says that Borishoin, it says on the first day, you've got Rosh Chodesh, which is to fix Lechoigeg. It says, Borishoin Lechoigeg. On the first day of Yom Tov, I'm going to fix the Yom Tov. Bishlishoi, which means a third of the way through the Yom Tov, Lokachas. That was the taking of the Seh, the taking of the lamb and putting it away on the 10th of Nisan, which is a third of the way through the month. And then it says, Bechetzioi, which is the Yom Tov, Lechoigeg, that's the Yom Tov of Pesach. And then it says, Beruboi, which is the 16th, it says, that is the Korban Oimer, Ktzias Oimer, and the Korban Oimer. And then it says, at the end, Veligmar, is the rest of the month, because B'chodesh Nigalu, U'v'chodesh Nisan Asidim Le'igol, so it's a month of Geula. And then it says that each thing had a skula to it. So it says, for instance, Lokachas, on the 10th of Nisan, on the Shlish, a third of the month, we took the Korban Pesach, and in that Zechus, they went over the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan when they passed into Eretz Yisrael. And then it says, Lechoigeg, that was the Zechus on Erev Pesach, of destruction of Sancheriv's army. That was Lechoigeg. And then it says, Liktzoi, the Ktzias Oimeh, that happened on the 16th of Nisan, the Zechus there was that Haman was hung on the day on the 16th of Nisan. Veligmar is Losid Lovoi. Interesting, I just want to make one point, and you can do your own homework, a challenge to everybody here. I went through the whole of the whole of the Yotzeres, as far as I could tell. Yeah, they're quite hard to decipher, but it goes through everything. It goes through Geula, it goes through the Binyan Beis HaMikdosh, it goes through, obviously, the Gulas Mitzrayim, it goes through the Chodshei HaShonah, it talks about Makas B'chorus, about Pesach Mitzrayim. Everything is, the whole of the history and the Yomim Tovim and the things that we do during Chodesh Nisan are all there. Plus the Tfilas, the Osed Lovoi, for the Mikdash HaShlishi, the Pesach Shein, the Pesach that will happen, the Osed Lovoi, etc., etc. Everything is mentioned because, as I said, Parshas HaChodesh is about the whole of Chodesh Nisan and not just Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Question. Have a look when you check it out tomorrow when you're saying the Yotzeres. I can't find any mention in the entire Yotzeres of Chometz and Matzah, which I would have thought are central to the Yontif, to Chodesh Nisan and Yontif. Yeah, everything is there. The Korban Pesach, even Dalut Koisus are mentioned, and Ktzias Oimeh is mentioned. Everything is mentioned. Chometz doesn't get a mention. Matzah doesn't get a mention. Don't know why.
Started there, Zerway, Northwest London, Friday, Kofches Ador, 28th of March. Rav Baruch Jalovsky, Shlita. The connection between Purim and Pesach. This week's Torah was sponsored by families Bar and Mokhtan, Lichvet Sumhanasun of Eliana Bar and Alex Mokhtan, which took place yesterday. He wrote in Shivna Bais Nemabi, his father Shem Yisilot, his chus Hashem Ba Chayulim Ba Milchamo, Shaksud of Otem, Shalom Bim Heiro.
My new family, Mechutin, Rabbi Yanki Wiesenfeld, Shlita, Roshus, Kol HaMasubim Kan, thank you once again for giving me the opportunity to start the day the Torah way with you. Now, in the past, I've had the opportunity to discuss various halachic shailas, but I was told strictly that on Friday the atmosphere is different. It must be either parasha related or Nyona Diyoma. So as we just heard, we're approaching now Shabbos HaChodesh, Parshas HaChodesh, heralding the onset of Chodesh Nisan, which means we are at the halfway mark between Purim and Pesach. The Tkufa, which is called in Chazal, being Geula LeGeula, between the Geula of Purim and the Geula of Pesach. Now this must not be misunderstood. This doesn't mean that it just so happens that there is a station in our calendar year called Purim. There is an unrelated, different station called Pesach. And we happen to be somewhere in between. No, it's quite clear from Chazal that the Geula of Purim and the Geula of Pesach clearly must be related. Because, for example, the Gemara tells us that when you have two Adars, Ador Rishon and Ador Sheni, discussion in the Gemara, which month should you celebrate Purim in? As we know, the Halacha says that Purim is in Ador Sheni. And the Gemara says the reason is lemismach, to juxtaposition Geula v'Geula. Now, if the two Geulas of Purim and Pesach were unrelated, then there would seemingly be no reason to be masmich the two of them. So it's quite clear that lemismach Geula l'Geula, there's a Geula of Purim which leads us to a Geula of Pesach. In fact, Rashi, on the famous Gemara of Mishenichnas Hador Marbim Besimcha, Rashi, unlike some other Rishonim, Rashi says, why are we Marbim Besimcha? Because we're now beginning the Tkufa of the Nisim of Purim and Pesach. Rashi adds, Purim and Pesach. So Mishenichnas Hador Marbim Besimcha, according to Rashi, doesn't end in Hador, it spills through over into Nisan. In fact, the Eliyarabba paskens lahalacha. The Gemara, as we famously know, says that if somebody has a din Torah with a goy, it would be advisable to make sure that that din Torah takes place in Chodesh Adar, because bori mazle, there is a special extra mazel toiv for Klal Yisrael during that month. And the Eliyarabba paskens so too in Nisan. How does he know? Because Azoi Shteit in Rashi. If Rashi says Mishenichnas Hador Marbim Besimcha is referring to Purim and Pesach, then clearly this is one lengthy tkufa of Marbim Besimcha in which there is special mazel for Klal Yisrael. So we're going to discuss Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach just for a few moments. There are, of course, countless ways of explaining the connecting theme between the Geula of Purim and the Geula of Pesach. Be'ezras Hashem will look at one small nekuda, but I think even though it's a very small nekuda bekamus, it's an enormous point in Eichus, in our Avodas Hashem, which refers to every single member of Klal Yisrael. If we go back to the beginning, Parshas Lech Lecha Vayero, the whole of Golus and Geulas Mitzrayim is all foretold in the Bris Bein Absarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that your descendants in many, many years' time will descend into an Oretz Asher Loi Lohem, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not specifically state it was going to be Mitzrayim. There will be there a torturous Golus, bitter enslavement, but there will be a Geula. Dono Noichi, I will judge and punish the nation that afflict your descendants. V'acharei chein yetzu b'rechush gadol, and Klal Yisrael will then leave with an enormous rechush, which al derech hapshat definitely means they'll leave with the money and the kelim. Others explain it means with a spiritual rechush, but yeh ech sheyeh, the whole of Golos and Geula is all predicted in the Bris Bein Absarim. The Mefarshim writes, the Beis Halevi describes this in Parshas Vayigash, that this was passed down midor ledor. This was not a secret. Avram Avinu told his son Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu told his son Yaakov Avinu. He told his son, in plural, the Shiftei Kor. This was not a secret. All of Klal Yisrael knew that there was a Bris Bein Absarim, a covenant, a promise made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that although there would be a Golos, but they would eventually be a Geula. There is a fundamental question that needs to be asked, a very simple question, but as we well know, the simplest questions are normally the hardest to answer. And really, this question is a one-word question. It's a one-word question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicts, tells Avram Avinu about the Geolus and the Geula. So our one-word question is, why? For what purpose? Why is it important for Avram Avinu to be aware of something which has no relevance to him? He didn't experience either the Geolus or the Geula, neither did his children, neither did his grandchildren. And as mentioned, this is passed down, midor ledor. So this is a very simple question, but a very fundamental question. What was the purpose of the Bris Bein Habasari? So I'd like to share with you a yesoid, a quite mind-blowing yesoid, of the Mira Mashkiach, Rabbi Yerucham Leibovit, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Das Chochma Umusa, anybody wants to look it up, Chelek Gimel, a very lengthy maimer in Siman Aleph. We're just going to quote two or three lines from that maimer. It's written all over Chazal, that the zechus for Klal Yisrael to be redeemed from Mitzrayim was bezechus the Yemuna. So Medrash and Parshas B'Shalach, Loi nigalu avoseinu mimitzrayim elo bezechus ha'emuna. Rabbeinu Bachai says the same, bezechus habitochein nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. A discussion for a different day. What's the difference between Emunah and Bitochen? Kiyadua the Chazanish says there is no difference. I'll call upon him. It's clear in many, many Makoires that the ticket to leave Mitzrayim was Bezuchus, the Emunah, and the Bitochen. It doesn't say Emunah in what? Bitochen that what? Every person has Bitochen. The Chavos of Oz writes this in the Akudama. Every person has Bitochen. Question is only what you have bitochen in. Some people are bitach in themselves. Some people are bitach in their money. Says the Chovas Avavos, it doesn't exist somebody who's a non-bitach. What were Klal Yisrael supposed to have been bitach in order to merit the Geula? So here comes the Yesod of Rabbi Yerucham, a quite remarkable Yesod. He says, the middah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lahavtiach, to make a promise, ochein, however, loy lekayim, but not to fulfill that promise immediately. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills all his promises, Baruch Shemer Havtachosei. But this is the middah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He makes a promise, but the fruition of that promise is not manifest straight away. Ubamidazu, and it was exactly with this conduct the Hisnaig im Ha'ovis. Sheloi Rou, they never saw Kiyum Shel Hadvorim. They never saw the fulfillment of the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to them. So therefore the question must be asked, and he asks it, so what was the purpose of the promise? Lahovin, and here comes the Yesod. In order to understand, says Rabbi Yerucham, ki ha-chefetz v'ha-tachlis, the entire purpose of making that promise, ki im la-ha-amin b'havtochosei. The purpose of making the promise that there was going to be a geula was that in order that the recipients, meaning the Ovos, and eventually Klal Yisrael, should indeed have emuna that the promise will indeed be fulfilled. The Lemeidin Mizeh, he writes, and we learn from over here, Iker Godoil Bahanogas Hashem, a tremendous lesson in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself and interacts with Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, the purpose of which is in order to have emuna and bitochay that that promise will eventually be realized, v'zeh yeh siboch. And if you have emuna and bitochay, that will be the reason, lovoy lemidas hakiyum. If you believe with every fiber of your being that there can be a geula, then there can be a geula. If you don't have emuna, if you're not firmly boiteach that there can be a Yeshua, then indeed there won't be one. And he concludes there with the following unbelievable words. Ki midarkei Hashem yisborach. Ki loy yitochein la'odom. Lo yitochein means impossible. He doesn't write it's unlikely. Lo yitochein, it's impossible la'odom lizkois b'shum dover. A person cannot be zeicha to anything ki im acharei habitochein. Mind-blowing words of the Mira Mashkiach. You cannot be zeicha to anything without bitochin. If you have bitochin that there can be a geulas mitzrayim, then there can be a geulas mitzrayim. If you don't have bitochin or be a geulas mitzrayim, then indeed there can't be one. In fact, he writes there, he writes as b'shem his Rebbe, the Alter Mikelm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paroi and demand of him that he releases Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu did not do that. He made a stop first at Klal Yisrael, beginning of Parsha Shemois. He performs the miracles, the stick into a snake, the water into the dam, Vayamein Ha'om, and they believed, following which he went to Paroi. So he asks Akasha, why was that the order? Why didn't he go to Paroi first? Hopefully Paroi will acquiesce, and then you come to Klal Yisrael, I've got good news. Why did he have to go to Klal Yisrael first? So he says, remarkably, because he needed a lot of siyata d'shmaya. He needed to be zoicha for hatzlocha when he went to visit Paroi. That can only happen if that's preceded by emuna. So he had to go to Klal Yisrael. Vayamein om, they believe the Yeshua can arrive, so indeed then it can. But the order could not possibly be reversed.
Sorry, you said that the others didn't see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill his promise, but actually each of them struggled to have a child, Avraham to have Yitzchak, etc. And eventually they did, so they had a kind of a foretaste of Hashem.
100%, and we'll maybe come to that shortly, a very good point.
Are we therefore in no way obliged to work towards it? We just have to sit on our chairs and wait for the geula to happen?
It depends what type of geula we're talking about. The bitochin is the tanai, is the prerequisite. Sometimes a person is struggling with his parnasa, so he needs a Yeshua. So he has to have bitochin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send it. What does that mean? He'll just sit there, arms folded, and wait for the money to land from heaven? Chas v'shalom. Of course, if we're talking about a geula, which is something that can be brought about through gashmius means, then that's absolutely the chiyuv hishtadlus. To what extent of the chiyuv hishtadlus? So you have to learn chivas halvavas she'ar b'tochen 1,000 times. Al kol ponim v'oifen, we know of a very famous chazal, but it needs a hezba. Yosef is going towards Mitzrayim, and Rashi tells us a remarkable nes was performed. What was the remarkable nes? Kadosh Baruch Hu sent him besomim. Normally, as Chazal explained, you wouldn't have expected these Arabs to have pleasant fragrance in their wagons, but they did for the tzaddikim. So it's a very difficult to understand Rashi. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending a message to Yosef? The bad news is, your mother has passed away, you might never see your father again, your brothers hate you, they want to kill you, You're on the way to Mitzrayim and you're being sold as a slave. But the good news is, there's a nice smell. How does that improve Yisva Tzadik's situation, Bichlav? Says the Meir Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal, it didn't improve Yisva Tzadik his situation at all. That was never the purpose. The way he writes it, it was a neshika. It was a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch. In his darkest moments, when he might, Chas V'Shalom, have thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned him, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him a little message, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's a neshika. He writes, it's a keren oyer, it's a ray of light in this terrible darkness that had completely enveloped Yosef HaTzadik. Now, on a very simple level, what does that mean? Yosef HaTzadik is going to feel, as it were, down in the dumps, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers him a bit of chizuk to raise his spirits. I don't think that's the pshat. I think it has a tremendous and profound meaning. The story is told that somebody came to the Radzina Rebbe. And he said, Rebbe, Ich darf haben a Yeshua, I'm in a terrible situation. And the Rebbe thought, and he gave him a bracha, and he said, Dei bishtavet helfen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Oh, wonderful bracha. What could be better than that? The Rebbe said, guaranteed, Dei bishtavet helfen. He came out of the Rebbe's room, the gabbai of the Rebbe, who was the son of the Rebbe, who ended up being the Rebbe himself, said, Nu, of the Bakuman Abracha, did you get a bracha? He said, I got a tremendous bracha. What was the bracha? The Eibishtavet Helfen. He said, go back into the Rebbe, ask for another bracha. He said, why? What's wrong with the first bracha? He said, ask the Rebbe, Oba Vosgeit Zain, what's going to be biz the Eibishtavet Helfen? What's going to be until the Kodesh Baruch Hu helps? So he went back into the Rebbe and he says, Yashkeach, a gewaldige bracha, with Bakuman, I've got a tremendous bracha you gave me, the Eibishtavet Helfen, Oba Vosgeit Zain, biz the Eibishtavet Helfen. The Rebbe said, I give you a bracha, as the Eibishtavet Helfen, biz the Eibishtavet Helfen. What does that mean? The bracha of a Rebbe must have had deep meaning. So I think that the meaning is, and this will help us understand the Bris Bein Habesorim, this will help us understand the Besomim of Yosef HaTzadik, and this will help us understand one of the connecting points between Purim and Pesach. We daven every single day. The bracha of Bitochen on davening is, of course, Al HaTzadikim. We talk about those who are Boitchem B'Shimcha Be'emes, and we beg the Rebbeinu Shalom, V'sein Chelkeinu Imohem, let our lot be together with them. How do we conclude the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Mishon U'Mivtach LaTzadikim. What is a Mishon and what is a Mivtach? Miftach, batuach, security. Mishon is to lean on. Lehisha'en, shiftecha u'mish'antecha. Says Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro, this is printed in the Goyin Siddur, phenomenal pshat, and this is mamish yesoide hadas mamish. A person needs a Yeshua. He needs to be secure. So he will have, be'ezer sashem, eventually the Mivtach. He'll be secure, he'll be zeichet to the Yeshua. Says Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, but there's a stage before the Mivtach, and that's called the Mishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a nes, a sign, even if the Mivtach, the Yeshua, hasn't yet arrived, because the time has not yet come, but for something for you to lean on. And he gives two examples, and what are they? Purim and Pesach. Purim, the Megillah takes 40 minutes to read, maybe. It took a decade or more for the whole story to come to a conclusion. So we know one of the episodes in the Megillah, Haman is trying his best to bring about Mordechai's downfall. And the next thing we know is that Mordechai is being paraded around the town by Haman, Kocha Yeosa. What was the purpose of that nis? That was seemingly a purposeless nis. Klal Yisrael's situation did not improve any which way as a result of that. We could have had the Megillah, Lechaira, without that event. So too, says Rabbi Avraham ben Agro, in the Geula of Mitzrayim, over 2 centuries of backbreaking persecution and torture, the Geula had not yet arrived, but there were Nisim. Asara Nisim, says the Mishnah. The Makris, that did not improve Klal Yisrael's situation any which way. But it was a mission. It was something for Klal Yisrael to lean on. And I'll read you the words. Says Rav Avraham ben Agro. Even though their request there, Yeshua arrives la'achar zman, but prior to that arrival, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a mission. Why? Shelo yoivdu, so that they should not lose bitchoinom boy yisborach. This, I think, is the profound meaning of the besomim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik finds himself in his darkest hour. And he might, chas v'shalom, give up. So Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him besomim. What was the purpose? Just a bit of a pickup? Raise his spirits? No. Because Rabbi Yeruchim told us that lo yitochein lo odom lizkois b'shum dover. You cannot be zeicha to any Yeshua without bitochein. So Yosef HaTzadik has been taken down to Mitzrayim in the most dark of circumstances. If you give up and you don't firmly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send you a Yeshua, then indeed there won't be a Yeshua. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him that mission before the Miftach. Something for you to lean on. Don't give up. Not just to raise your spirits, a nice feel-good factor. Chas v'shalom. As Rav Avraham ben Agro says, Shelo yoivdu bitchoinom. The Purim story has not yet come to a conclusion. So Klal Yisrael might give up. The Gezerah of Haman is still chai v'kayom, but if you give up in Yeshua, then there won't be a Yeshua. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but the time hasn't come yet, but I'm going to send you a mission. I'm going to send you your besomim. Look at the Vana Poichu. Kocho ye osa. Ah, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael. We must not lose our bitochen. You still have bitochen that there'll be a Yeshua? Then indeed there'll be a Yeshua. So too in Mitzrayim. The Geula, the time hadn't arrived. But there's a year of Makkos, that's the mission. That's what Klal Yisrael can lean on. That's the besomim, the mishon before the miftach. And I believe that's what the Rebbe meant. When the Rebbe said, the Eibishter vet help, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ya'azor, it'll help. So he was told to go back in and ask the Rebbe, Aba Vosgeit Zayin, biz the Rebbe vet help, and what's going to be, biz the Eibishter vet help. And what was the Rebbe's bracha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you until he helps you. What does that mean? It means he'll send you besomim. You'll have a mishon. It's true. The Rebbe gave a bracha to Eibishter vet helfen, but he didn't say it would be immediate. But don't give up. Because if you give up and you don't have your emunah and your bitochen, didn't Rabbi Yeruchim tell us? Lo yitochen lo odom lizko is b'shum dover. You cannot be zeicha to anything without emunah and bitochen. So really, the request was, you gave me a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help. How am I going to manage until then? Maybe chas v'shalom, I don't see my Yeshua on the horizon, and indeed I'll give up. But if I give up, then the Yeshua won't arrive at all. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him, the Rebbe was giving him a bracha, the Eibishter vet helfen, biz the Eibishter vet helfen. He'll send you those besomim. He'll send you that mission before the Miftach. And this, of course, is therefore a major connection between Purim and Pesach. On the one hand, Purim and Pesach are in fact two very opposite type of geulos. As we all know, geula of Purim was a gilui mitoich ha-hester, megilas Esther, legalos Esther, it was a hester ponim. Pesach was the exact opposite. It was ha'oras ponim, yod chazaka, zroya nutuya. They could literally, we have no perception of what this means, Zeh keli vaveyu, they could literally point to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything was begilui. So the geulois were really the absolute opposite. But we see from Rav Avraham ben Agro that the formula for the geula was identical. There was a mishon before the miftach. In the case of Mitzrayim, it was the eser makos before the eventual Yeshua. In the case of Purim, it was the Haman and Mordechai story before the eventual Yeshua. But as we explain the purpose of that, and it's not my chiddush, Rav Avraham ben Agro is saying it, Shelo yoivdu bitochai, not just have a nice feeling. But rather, if you give up in the Yeshua, then there won't be a Yeshua, because loy nigalu avoseinu mimitzrayim elo bizchus emuna. If you don't have firm emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send you Yeshua, then indeed he won't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barayv Chastoy sends us a mission, something for us to lean on before that miftach. I live in Ramat Bet Shemesh now, what's called Ramat Bet Shemesh Gimel, but I used to live in Ramat Bet Shemesh Aleph. There was a very choshever Taira Yid who's no longer alive. His name was Rav Shmuel Shtimler. I asked him, is he related to the Shtimlers from London? He said he didn't think so. He's originally from Poland. And on one Tisha B'Av morning in the shul that I used to daven in the Groshul, they asked him to speak after the kinnis. He was a war survivor, went through Bergen-Belsen camps. And he spoke about his emuna and bitochen. It was a phenomenal chizuk. When he finished speaking, I went up to him and said, Rav Shmuel, tell me, what was the secret of your success? How did you remain strong? He survived the Bergen-Belsen camps. He moved to America, married, set up a teridika family, retired, moved to Bet Shemesh and passed away a few years ago. So he told me the following. He said, I was snatched from my home as a young bar mitzvah boy. I didn't know whether I'd ever see my family ever again. I managed to smuggle with me three things, he told me. A few coins, a few family photographs. I didn't want to forget what my parents looked like. And most precious of all, he told me, is tefillin. I was a bar mitzvah boy. I'd never missed a day of putting on tefillin. Eventually, they took me to the camps, Bergen-Belsen camps, and there they confiscated everything. They took away my money. Worse still, they took away my family photographs. And the worst of all, they took away my tefillin. They gave me the famous striped jacket and trousers, and then I put them on. He said it was moving enough. Obviously, I'd realized that I was not the first person to wear these clothes. The previous wearer was Beginze Meroimim. And he told me that as he put on his jacket, he felt there was something in the pocket. He dared not put his hand in that pocket because he was afraid he'd be caught by the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, but he found a quiet corner. And he put his hand once again into that pocket, he takes it out and he looks, and in his hand he's holding a tefillin shul rosh. That's how I kept strong in Bergen-Belsen. He wasn't released straight away. His miftach hadn't arrived, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent him besomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent him a mishon. That's the neshika that Reb Chaim Shulevitz was talking about. That's the keren oir, the ray of light is not. It's hard for you, so I'll give you a pickup feeling. No! If it's hard for you, you may give up and you'll lose your bitochen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you that mishon, something for you to lean on. That's exactly what happened at Purim. That's exactly what happened on Pesach. So tomorrow night, Mitzvah Hashem, as we begin the new week, none of us know ever what the new weeks hold for us. Every person needs Yeshuas. Every one of us needs Yeshuas. Some people need Yeshuas in Parnasa, some in Shalom Bayis, some in Chinuch HaYelodim, Ruchnias, Gashmias. We all need Yeshuas. So we begin the week, we make Avdalah, and we hold that Kois, and we say, Kois Yeshua is Esa. Me'abizoicha. To be raising the case of Yeshuas. Sometimes we find ourselves in dark moments. So what am I holding together with that case? I'm holding the Neir, the Oir. Oiri ve'yishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send me that Oir. But what am I holding with the other hand? I'm holding the Besomim. Because that's the formula. That's the formula. The Oir, the Mivtach, and the Besomim as the Mishon. And thereby we could be zoicha to case Yeshuas Esa. So as we explained, there are so many different ways of understanding this period of Geula v'Geula, connection between Purim and Pesach. But as we've seen in Ravron ben Agra, this is the formula. This is always the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Yeshua. It doesn't necessarily arrive exactly at the time that we'd like it to. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hold on tight. There's a mission before the Miftach. I always tell people who, unfortunately, I have to speak to her going through difficult kufos. I said, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you so much besomim. Just don't forget to smell them. Sometimes we're unaware. We open our eyes. We see that we're showered with brachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. We're called Tzad V'Shal every step of the way. That's the Besomim. That's the Mishon before the Miftach. And that Be'ezus Hashem is what we're davening for now in this period of upcoming to Nisan, Yerotzoin, that this should be indeed a period of Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael, B'chlal, period of Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael, B'frat, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim at this time of year, Bayom Imahein, so too Amitz Hashem, Bazman Hazeh.
Are you saying that Purim is the Mishon?
No. Purim and Pesach, each one had a Mishon.
I thought so. I just wanted to make sure they could have said that. Solid Purim. She got it. Thank you. Beautiful. Very nice.
Working mental.
Go ahead, please. Baruch. Sorry, I forgot.